It is St. Patrick's Day, and even though NPR's Bob Edwards couldn't be here this morning to celebrate in his own baritone brogue, he did leave behind this little gift.
Imagine this time of year in, say, 1920, almost spring. People may have just started to open their windows. You can stroll through New York or London or Dublin and hear what your neighbors are playing on their phonographs. Chances are, in a lot of places, it's this.
If you listen, I'll sing you a sweet little song of a flower that now droops and dead. Yet dearer to me, yes, than all of its myth.
The Irish tenor John McCormick was one of the greatest singers of the last century. He sang in Covent Garden and Carnegie Hall, all over Europe, Australia, and the Far East. And he sold millions of records, going multi-platinum before there was such a phrase. Today, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, commentator Miles Hoffman has some of the highlights of McCormick's career, which began in the early 1900s and lasted until 1943.
It's extremely difficult for us to realize now just how popular he was, Bob. Probably the most successful and popular vocal recitalist ever. If you look at lists of how many recitals the man sang every season, it's staggering. And when he sang in a city, he didn't sing in a small hall. He would sing in places that were the equivalent of arenas now. He sang in the Hippodrome in New York that held 5,000 people. He sold it out time after time. This was a mega superstar in the days before we knew about mega superstars.
And he did more than Irish popular songs. The man could do opera.
Everything. Anything. He was considered during his day as one of the greatest Mozart singers. He studied in Italy. He sang there sometimes under an Italian name. He sang under the name Giovanni Folli. And Folli was the name of his fiancée. That was his in-law's name, Folli, F-O-L-E-Y. But he made
many an Irishman has had to do the same.
Well, I guess.
All right, he used an Italian name. Could he pass musically as an Italian?
I think he could, and let's listen to a famous aria from Rigoletto by Giuseppe Verdi. This is the aria Questo o Quella, and McCormick sounds like a great Italian singer.
Oh, come on, that's an Irishman.
No. As a matter of fact, Enrico Caruso once said of McCormick, if I could sing in Italian like John McCormick, I would be the world's greatest singer.
He was a contemporary of Caruso.
He was a little younger, but they really had a mutual admiration society. There's a story of the two of them meeting on the street, and McCormick goes up to Caruso and says, so, how's the world's greatest tenor? And Caruso looks astonished and says, John, have you started singing baritone?
Wouldn't you think two tenors meeting on the street would sing to each other? Yeah.
They might.
Hello!
But in what language?
McCormick had great timing. He came along in time for recordings, for movies, for radio.
Yes, but you know, you could say, Bob, that the recording industry was lucky that McCormick came along when he did, because McCormick's success was absolutely astonishing. During 38 years of recording, he made on the order of 800 discs. By one estimate, he sold over 4 million copies alone of his signature song, which was I Hear You Calling Me. There wasn't anything he couldn't sing. And there was a wonderful line that the great English critic Ernest Newman wrote of McCormick. He said, McCormick never stooped to anything. He elevated everything to his level. So you can't find anybody to say anything bad about John McCormick.
Oh, yes, you can. There was the politics.
Well, yeah, but even there, yes. He initially, I think, in England, early in his career, he was not necessarily viewed well. He used to sing things like The Wearing of the Green and really very strong Irish songs that you could call political, but he kind of got away from that and didn't push that. Because
just to remind everyone, Ireland was still British then.
Yes, but he became an American citizen in 1919, and there were some who were a little miffed by that, but I don't think that ever lasted very long. First of all, he kept a house in Ireland. He loved the Irish folk songs, and he sang them for his entire life. One beautiful Irish song that's not terribly political, but where we can hear McCormick really putting on his brogue, is a lovely song called By the Shortcut to the Rosses. This is McCormick at his finest in the Irish style.
By the shortcut to the Rosses, a fairy girl I met. I was taken by her beauty as a fish is in a net. The fern uncurled to look at her, so very fair was she, with her hair as bright as the seaweed that floats in from the sea.
Well, what happens? Does the tenor get the girl?
I don't know.
Well, he better. It's St. Patrick's Day. But alas, he doesn't. The girl turns out to be bad news, the kind of lover who can turn a man's heart to stone.
Does she take me soul and crush it like a dead leaf in her hand? For the shortcut to the Rosses is the road to fairyland.
By the Shortcut to the Rosses, recorded in 1928 by John McCormick. A complete list of the songs you heard is at npr.org.
NPR's Bob Edwards with music commentator Miles Hoffman, who told us that no matter what music we played in the beginning and the middle of this interview, we had to end it like this.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Doyle Montaigne.
And when Irish eyes.